You want to title it, it's going to be called Faith Essentials. Now, I want to start out by saying faith is the activator for everything in the kingdom of God. Faith is the activator for everything in the kingdom of God. Now, I know some people say, well, no, love is. No, love is the motivator. You got it? Love, our motivation should be love, but love is the motivator. Faith is the activator. If anything is going to be activated in your life as it relates to the kingdom of God, you got it. It's going to be done by faith. Yes, by his grace, God has already provided everything we will ever need in this life that he has called us to live. But if you don't understand faith, you will not be able to access what he has already provided by his grace. You got it? Ephesians 6 and 8, I think, it says, for by grace are we saved through what? Through faith. You got it? So grace is the avenue where God provides. Faith is what we use to access what God has already provided. Another way of saying it is like faith is the thread of the fabric of the Word of God. Faith is the thread of the fabric of the Word of God. If you don't have thread, you can't make a garment. And the more thread you have, the more garments you can make. You got it? So as it relates to the kingdom of God, you know, if you don't learn faith, as far as walking in the promises of God and what he's left for you to walk in and live in, you're going to be unable to access it. All right, so to start this, go to Romans 1. Go to Romans 1, 17. Romans 1, 17. Romans 1, 17. And like I said, what we're trying to do is we're trying to bring some balance, you know, to the house and make sure that on Wednesdays, you know, we're understanding the faith side and Sundays, and other things we're dealing with, you know, grace. Romans 1, very common passage of scripture, verse 17. Romans 1, verse 17, and it reads, it says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by what? Faith. Now we understand that the just is the declared righteous. And we understand that when it's talking about the just, it's talking about me, it's talking about you. If you're saved, you are the just. You have been declared righteous by God. Not by anything that you've done, but by what Jesus has done what for you. And you put faith in that. And by that, God has declared you righteous. All right? In simple terms, you are in right standings with God. You're in right relationship with God. You are now in his kingdom, and his kingdom operates by faith. So now you are required to live by faith. Simply put, that when I say yes to Jesus, before I say yes to Jesus, I was operating in one kingdom. But then once I say yes to Jesus, I leave one kingdom and I go into another kingdom. Now, this kingdom that I'm in now is called the kingdom of God. Now, if I'm going to access anything in the kingdom, it's going to require me to use faith. This is why the Bible says the just, the declared righteous, the ones that are in his kingdom are called to live by faith. All right, go to Colossians 1. Colossians 1. Colossians 1. Colossians 1, verse 13. And this is just going to back up the statement that I just made. Colossians 1 and verse 13. It says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear what? Son. That word. Once the moment I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, you got it, I was transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. And that kingdom, in that kingdom, I must learn how to live by faith. So faith is not something I just use when I need something or when I encounter trouble. Faith is how I live. And see, this is where, you know, sometimes in Word of Faith, you know, we get, I think people get a little off because they think, well, you know, I got a problem, so now I got to get in faith. I got a situation, so now I got to get in faith. No, the thing is that you should already been in faith. Because faith is how I live. Faith is not something that I hop in and out of. Faith is a lifestyle. I say it all the time. How often do I live on a daily basis? You never stop what? Living. So you should never stop operating by what? Faith. You got it? This is the problem in the kingdom that most believers, you know, that the people that are in the kingdom of God, they're not living by what? Faith. You got it. Then when problems come, they got to try to figure out, well, how do I get in faith? And now you got it. Something that you should have been in and out of, you in for a long time. You got it. You should always be operating. You should always be living by faith. Now, go to 1 Timothy 6 and 12. 1 Timothy 6 and 12. And we're going to be, you know, flipping through scriptures and bunch of scriptures. But what we want to do is we want to make sure that everyone, you got it, that is connected to this church, that number one, they understand grace. They understand what God has already provided for them. But number two, they know how to access it by faith. Because it really doesn't do you any good to know that something is provided, but you can't access it. I mean, if I told you I provided you $100, but I ain't tell you how to do it, how to get it, does the $100 do you any good? No. You got it? So just because I know what God has provided, that is not enough. You got it? I need to know how to access what God has already provided for me by his grace. You got it? Which is unmerited, unearned, and undeserved. I did not do anything to deserve this. This is just based on the goodness of God. You got it? But now I got to learn how to access it. 1 Timothy 6, verse 12. We're going to look at the first part of this. Another common passage of scripture here. It says, fight the good fight of what? Faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many what? Witnesses. So he tells him, he said, listen, fight the good fight of what? Faith. Now, this scripture tells me that I am in a fight. You got it? And that fight is a faith fight. You got it? Now, let's make some statements here. Number one, I must understand that I'm not in a fight with the devil. I don't fight the devil. You got it? Now, even we can go back to even before, you know, Jesus was crucified and resurrected. You know, Jesus gave his disciples power. He gave his disciples power over the devil. You got it? So we must understand that we're not called to fight the devil. You got it? When we saw Jesus dealing with the devil, we saw Jesus casting them out. God, that's what he did. He cast out devils. That's what he did. He didn't go and had no fight with the devil. He just told him, hey, come out. So we cast out devils. Then we can go a little farther in scripture, and it makes a statement. It says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will what? Flee. All right. So number one, I submit to God. When the enemy tries to encroach my life, I resist by faith. And then the scripture says that he has to what? Flee. So I see two things. Number one, I understand that I have been given authority over the devil. Number two, I understand that when he tries to encroach my life, I am called to resist him and he will what? Flee. but I'm never called to do this back and forth with the devil. You got it? I'm never called to do this back and forth. Now, let's go a little farther with this. Now, this word fight means the presence of conflict, striving for mastery. An example that the Greek used is like an athletic competition. You got it? So when we use the word fight, we have to understand that there's some kind of struggle, that there's some kind of conflict that's going on when you see this word fight. So in simple terms, what I got to understand is that my conflict is not with the devil or other people. My conflict is learning how to live by faith. That's my conflict. The struggle, and this is where we have to be real honest with ourselves. The struggle that most believers have, you got it, is themselves learning how to live by faith. Listen, in simple terms, do I believe God or not? That's the struggle. So my struggle is not with another person. Other people may do me wrong, but my struggle is not with them. My struggle is to stay in faith so I don't hurt them. So you got to understand, as it relates to the child of God, as it relates to the believer, you got it. The only fight I have is a faith fight, and that is a fight, watch this, that I have with myself. Am I going to believe God on this? In the midst of everything that's going on the outside, in the midst of everything I'm seeing, I'm experiencing, I'm feeling, am I going to believe what? God. You got it? And that's where the struggle comes in. Because when you look at the word says one thing, but your life look like something else. So now, watch this. Am I going to believe what I'm going through right now, or I'm going to believe what God has said about me? And that's where all the conflict, that's where all the struggle comes in. Right there. Now, we understand that we're called to fight, but we're called to a faith fight. Now, as we look at this word faith, in most cases in the New Testament, it is this Greek word pistis, and we've seen this before, and it simply means to trust. You got it. To believe or have believed. You got it, with implications that actions based on that trust will follow. That's the simple definition that the Greek gives. But what we're going to do in this series is we're going to go a little bit farther than the definition that the Greek gives. We're going to go back and we're going to go through Scripture and see what faith actually looks like operationally. You got it? Because your confidence needs to rest in what Scripture says and not what the Greek says. You got it? So we're gonna show you this in operation in the Bible. So when we look at it from the Greek, we understand that when I'm talking about faith, it means that I have this belief, I have this trust. You got it? And because of the belief and the trust I have, watch this, my actions, watch this, follow or line up with what I say I believe or trust in. In simple terms, that's what it means when we're talking about we're in faith and we're believing God for something. You got it? Now, one thing about the kingdom of God is that you cannot fool God about you being in faith or not. You see what I'm saying? There's no way you can trick God. Right. You got it. Either you're in faith or you're not. Right. And you can't access the promise unless you're in what? Faith. In faith. So now, it's no need to be trying to play no game with nobody else or yourself. You got it? Now, based off the Greek definition, if you are if you're in belief or you believe or you trust in God in an area, then that means the implication is that your actions will follow what you say you trust and believe in. So for you to say you trust or you believe, but everything else is contrary to what you say you trust and believe, then you have not engaged the principle of faith. You haven't engaged the principle of faith. So now if I haven't engaged the principle of faith, then I can't access the promise that's in the kingdom flow. Because I can only access the promise that's in the kingdom by way of what? Faith. Faith is the key. So you can't unlock the door until you get in faith. You can't go with some kind of other key. The door won't open. Because the only way you're going to open the door to access the promise is that you're going to have to be living, or you're going to have to be in the operation of what the kingdom of God calls what? Faith. And when you get in faith, this is what happens. The door opens. And watch this. No devil or nobody else can stop it from opening. Nothing. You got it? Now, let's move forward. Everybody with me. All right, now, and I'm almost done. Told y'all I'm not gonna be long now. Boy, I told them that meeting day to tell. I could sense the doubt and unbelief in the room. I said, you know what? I said, I know how Jesus felt now, Ms. Roland. Cause I said, yeah, we'll see. Ain't no way you gonna stop in 45 minutes. I said, watch me. I'm gonna do it now. I'm telling y'all, I'm gonna do it. Now, in my hand, I have a quarter. You got it? I have a quarter. Now, a quarter is what we call legal tender. You got it? In the United States. It can be traded, you got it, in our market or our economy for goods and services. Got it? I can take this quarter and go in the store. I might can't get much now. Back in the day when I was coming up, I could get a whole lot with a quarter. But right now, I can't get too much. You got to get some cookies, some bubble gum, and shoot. And if I caught it right on time, I can get a soda pop for 10 cents. So I done got me some cookies. I done got me some bubble gum. And I got me a soda for a quarter. You go in there with a quarter now. You'll be lucky to get a peppermint. Yeah. But anyway, like I said, this quarter is called legal tender. It is what we use to trade for goods and services. And watch this, in this kingdom or this economy that we are in. Now, this quarter has two heads. All right. Now, the one I have, it has a picture, I guess, of the first president of the United States, George Washington, on one side, right? Now, the other side, this one, should have got another one, but it has a train. You know, yeah, I'm getting the light. I'm real good. Yeah, it got a train coming from this end. And it's got a train coming from that end, and then it got something in the middle, and they facing each other. But most of them, the old school quarters, have a picture of George Washington on the front and a picture of an eagle on the back with open wings. So I don't know what I got here going on here, but it's still some good. Now, so I can take this, and I can go in the store, and I can give them this quarter. And then if they are merchant, then they have to either give me goods or services for this quarter. You got it? Now, I can take this quarter, and I can put it in a grinder. I can put it in a grinder. You know what a grind is. You know, something that grinds off the face of something. I can take this quarter and put it in a grinder and grind off Washington's head on this quarter. I can take the same quarter, watch this, and give it to somebody for goods and services. And because both sides of this coin are not intact, they do not have to accept this for goods and services. Got it? It's the same, listen, it's the same quarter. You got it? But I have defaced it, so now both sides are not intact. Now, somebody on the open market in the U.S. economy does not have to accept this what? Quarter. Even though it's the same quarter. But you got it? What I did is I took off, you know, one side of it. So in order to spend this quarter, both sides of this quarter must be intact. I want everybody to get that. It's the same coin, but it has two sides. All right? I need you to understand this now, because this is going to be very pivotal as we move forward to understand faith. It's the same coin, but it has what? Two sides. And both sides of the coin must be intact in order for this coin to be spendable. All right? So in order for me to spend this coin, both sides must be intact. Now, I submit to you that this is how the kingdom of God works. That there is this currency that we have in the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God currency is called faith. You got it? Because I made a statement earlier. I said, if you're going to access anything in the kingdom, it's going to require what? Faith. Now, this kingdom currency has two sides. It has a head side and a tail side. And in order for it to be spent, both sides must be present. One side of the coin is belief, and the other side is faith. You got it? So if both sides are not intact, you can't access what's in the kingdom. You got it? Because now what I'm going to show you tonight, and then we're going to end, is that, watch this, you can believe something. You got it? And still not be able to access what God has provided by his grace. You got it? So now, in order for me to access what God has provided by his grace, yes, I have to believe it, but then I have to act or have this agreement in my life with what I say I believe. You got it? And that when you see that in operation, then this is what the Bible calls faith. You got it? It's two sides to the same what? Coin. And in order to spend it, both sides got to be intact. You got it? And a lot of people in the body of Christ is they have one side, but they ain't got the other side. And now they wonder why they ain't walking in the promise. Man, that example was great. That example was great. Somebody got to pay you to miss that. If you understand that, man, somebody got to pay you. I mean, literally pay you to miss that. So when I talk about accessing what God has provided by his what? Grace, I must understand, yes, I got to believe, but I got to also, watch this, act on what I what? Believe, which is faith. All right. Yeah. You got it? Both must be present. You got it? In order to access the promise that God has provided by his grace. All right. Now, I'm going to show you the example. Now, I've been using this example for years. And man, I'm going to tell you this, because this had to have been God, because every time I would use this example, Debbie would be here. It never failed. Every time Debbie Krull would be here, every time I use, because I always use her as the example, as the nurse. And I always, it's never failed when I taught it. And I've been teaching it for years. You got it? Now that's why when she walked, I said, what in the world? You know? But I've never used this example, and she hadn't been here. So I know I'm right dead center in the middle of God's wheel right now. You got it? Now example of this, if y'all have been around for a while, I've used this example many a times. I say, we could be sitting in here right now, and a man could come in this room. Man could come in this room, and he could look like, you know, he almost about to die. You got it? And I have Debbie. I say, Debbie, access him. You know whatever nurses do, you know, they look at him or what they do. Assess him. You know, assess him, you know. And Debbie, she'll come up here and she'd assess him and she'll say, Pastor, this man is starving to death. If he doesn't get something to eat in the next minute, he's going to die from starvation. All right? Now, I can have this man right here. Oh, man. Oh. I can have this man right here. Mr. Williams, stand up. Let me stand up right there. Right there, good. Right there, good. Right there. Man could be starving to death. And Debbie's already assessed him. They said if he don't get something to eat in the next minute, he's going to die of starvation. And I asked that man, I said, sir, do you believe if you eat this bag of Doritos, you will live? And that man says, yes, I believe it. You got it? And he could stand right there. And the clock ticked down, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and drop dead. Right there. Now, my question is, did he believe? Did he believe if he ate this bag of Doritos, he would live? Now, the question, would answer that question be yes. That's what he said. He believed it. You got it? But because he didn't act on what he believed, his believing wasn't enough to save him. You got it? See, you can sit down. And see, and this is the simplicity, you got it, of faith. When I talk about having two sides of the same coin, where you got people, you got it, that quote unquote, yeah, they really do believe. They believe, you got it. But because they don't have any action that's in agreement with what they believe, they end up dying in a believing state. So when I talk about faith, you got it. This is what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that, you know, that we're beyond just believing, but like the Greek says, pistis, it says that actions will follow. You got it? So you can actually literally believe, and what you believe doesn't impact your life. Now, there's a statement in scripture, and we may go and see it later as we're going through the series, but I think it was in James, and he says, even the devils believe. He said, even the devils believe, but watch this. What the devils believe, they don't believe enough to cause them to act on it. They say even the devils believe and tremble. You got it? So when we talk about faith, we're talking about more than you just simply believing something. We're talking about now that I have believed it to the point where now it has caused me to act. And once I begin to act on what I believe, faith is engaged, and now watch this, no devil or anybody else can stop me from accessing the promise, because this is how the kingdom of God works. And most people, most believers in church, they don't understand this. And they just sit back, well, I just don't understand why God ain't answering my prayer. I just don't understand why this. See, no, you got to understand that what once I believe, I act in agreement with what I believe, and I don't stop. See, now watch this. This man could not tell me how many steps he gonna take before he get to Doritos. He can't say, I'm gonna take 5 steps in agreement and I better have the chips. Well, what if I'm 20 steps away? And see, and this is what folk do, is they having a mindset that they already fixed to tell God how far they gonna go. See, you don't get to determine that. You don't get to determine how long it's going to take. All right. You got it? But the thing is, if I get in faith and stay in faith, watch this, I'm going to have what I say. You got it? But see, but most people, man, they'll believe, they'll start. But then them jokers stop. Got it? When stuff start going on around them. And Jesus told Peter, he says, I pray that your faith fail you not. You got it? So just listen, being in faith today and not being in faith tomorrow doesn't work. Because you don't know how long it takes. See, in this way, Abraham didn't get to tell God when he going to have a kid. You don't get to determine that. My job is to believe and act in agreement with what I believe until the promise show up. And you make up your mind that I won't stop believing. I won't stop acting in agreement with what I believe until I have obtained the what? Promise. No, I ain't going to stop. I ain't going to stop. Until the thing shows up. You want to know what I'm going to stop? When I got it. If I ain't got it, I don't stop. I keep right on moving in agreement. I keep right on making decisions that is in agreement with what I believe. You got it? Until I obtain the promise. Now, one more statement, then we're going to be done. All right? Whoo, Jesus. Y'all learn anything? Now, let's go back to the Doritos. All right. God's grace provided the Doritos. Man, when he came in here, he didn't do nothing to deserve it. You got it? It was an act of what? Grace. It was provided by God. All right? Now, once you understand God's grace, the Doritos, you have to believe, you got it, that what has been provided is what you need to sustain you. Got it? Come in. God's grace provided Doritos. He had to believe that the Doritos was a what? Enough to what? Sustain them, all right? Now, after you believe, then you got to act on what you believe. So you got to take steps to get the Doritos, open the bag, take them out, and eat them. You got it? Now, if you don't do all of that, watch this, whatever God has provided by his grace will not impact your life. If you just simply get here and believe and don't go, it won't impact your life. If you take 5 steps in the direction of it, but don't get to it, still won't impact your life. If you got the thing in your hand,
No, you got it in your hand. You got it. It still won't sustain your life. You got to open the bag, take out the Doritos, put it in your mouth, chew, watch this, and swallow. It takes all of those steps in order to get what was an act of God's grace to sustain your life. And see, and this is, and what happens over time is that people start and stop. No, man, I got to make up my mind. Listen, I will not stop. And I know along the way, because what we're going to learn is you got to understand this is what the enemy is after. See, the attacks of the enemy in your life is not personal. This is one mistake people make. You got it. When they look at stuff and they take everything personal. That was not personal. That was an attack designed by the enemy. They either to get you to doubt or to stop moving forward. You got it? In simple terms, he was after your faith. Because he knows a believer without faith, watch this, can't do nothing. This is why it ain't personal. When people trip on, don't take it personal. They just being used by the devil. They don't know, but they being used. When you go in, your job tell you, you know, listen, this is, we closing the plant next week. Ain't nothing personal. Because my trust was never in the plant anyway. The plant was just the resource, not the source. As long as the source is good, I'm good. Come on, a resource can dry up. You got the only thing I got to do is create another channel and tap back into the what? Source. You got it? And the source is who? God. The source is God. You got it? So if one channel dries up, I don't sit there and cry about that channel. I just create another what? Channel. We looked at that with the life of Elijah. Brook dried up. God sent him to the brook. Brook dried up. He ain't do nothing to cause the brook to dry up. Now, Elijah could have sat right there and said, you know what, God, I ain't moving. It ain't fair. It ain't fair that this brook dried up. I ain't going nowhere else. And God would have let him stay right there and die like everybody else. So one of the things you got to understand, and this is, you know, this book that God put him, that you want to be there. You got it? Where is there? Wherever God said there is. And watch this, sometimes there changes. And they'll sit there and they'll say, I ain't. Okay, well, you're going to miss there. And God commanded the raven to carry flesh there. I got 5 minutes. Ooh. I got 6 minutes. Okay. Watch this. Let's go to 2 Kings. 1 Kings. 2 Kings. 1 Kings or 2? 1 Kings. Yeah, 1 Kings? Yeah. 1 Kings. Yeah, 1 Kings. 1 Kings 17. Okay, yeah. 1 Kings 17. Go to verse 2. Y'all got it? 1 Kings 17, verse 2. And it says, and the word of the Lord came unto him saying. Now, you got to understand, see, this is what you got to understand about the life of faith. The life of faith cannot be lived without being able to hear from God. All right. Got it? The word of the Lord comes, and then we act on the what? Word. So now, if you ain't getting no word from the Lord, how you going to know what to act on? So now, here's the question. How can you start your day without getting with God? You just out there doing stuff. You ain't even consulting with God. Okay, what's it? Verse 2. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee. What? He command. So watch this. God had already given instructions to the ravens to feed Elijah at the brook Cherith. Now watch this. Now, what if Elijah would have went to another brook? No, what if Elijah would have went to another brook? Well, Lord, I thought you were talking about. No. See, this is why you got to be able to hear from God. See, your provisions, you got to understand, God has already commanded them there. Now, here's the problem. If you don't know where there is, if you don't know what there is, where there is, you can miss the provisions that God has already provided. But watch this, it's not God's fault. Because he sent the provisions there. So now it's my job to get. Watch this, not where I want to be, but there. And there is where he has commanded me to be. And I don't leave there until he command me to go somewhere else.
All right.
See, but here we go. We're so proud. We just think we can do what we want to do. And then God, watch this, is going to make his agenda. No, he's going to make my agenda his agenda. So he said the brook Cherith, but you said the Elizabeth River. So you go to the Elizabeth River, and then you think God going to lead the brook Cherith and come to the Elizabeth River. No, that don't work like that. You want to stay over there at the Elizabeth River and miss what God has already sent there. And here's the thing. How much time I got, Luke? Here's the thing. He had already commanded the raven. Watch this. Before the brother even left. God don't wait for you to go and then send it. Mm-hmm. He already send it and then wait for you to go.
All right.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. I'm done. I am done.